Ya devi stu vedenittim videi vedavare ke ki samay vastu chikva gre brahma rupa saraswati. So I will begin by giving a background of this unique spiritual personality whose adopted name is Nivedita, and the name that she was given by her parents was Margaret. Her name was Miss Margaret Noble. She was born in Ireland of Scottish descent in 1867, met Swami Vivekananda in 1895 in London, and later dedicated her whole life to serve India. Not as a great admirer of Indian culture or Indian political tradition or working for India's political independence, as another great Irish leader did, you know. So there being two great Irish women in India's history who loved India and who worked for India. Sister Nivedita, as her Sanskrit adopted name, she looked upon India as the cradle of an ancient traditional spiritual culture. She was fascinated by India's spiritual heritage, and she got a very lively interpretation of this heritage from her guru, Vivekananda. Annie Besant was the other Irish woman who was born in 1847, who was incidentally one of the great leaders of Theosophical movement and one of the presidents of Indian National Congress, and a great politician who inspired many Indian patriots and politicians. But she looked upon India as an ancient society, and she fell in love with India as a socio-cultural entity. But Sister Nivedita looked upon India as a great spiritual heritage. I shall just give one example, letting I begin. And that brings into light the greatness of Holy Mother. That is a topic for Swami Chaitanandaji Maharaj. You know, just think of this scene. Sister Nivedita was born in Ireland, educated. She was herself a teacher and educator, inspired by many of the liberal ideas which had their origin, which prospered in Ireland. In fact, the great political controversy, I mean, you know, the conflict between the Protestants and Catholics had come to an end, come to a temporary reconciliation due to the personality, due to the interference of her own father and grandfather. That's her heritage, political heritage. So she had a very wonderful pedigree from a political, sociological point of view. And she was an agnostic to begin with. She was, of course, she was born a Catholic, but in 19th century, religion was facing a number of challenges. After Darwin published his Origin of Species, and after the contributions of the works of Marx and Engels became prominent, many radical ideas, many modern radical humanistic ideas, and also many anti-religious ideas inspired by Darwin's Origin of Species had already started shaking the foundations of established religion in Europe. And she belonged to that group of highly educated, enlightened, highly conscious young Britishers who wanted to get an answer to one fundamental question: what is the essence of religion? So she was disillusioned with the conventional religiosity, the external ceremonial practices of established religions like Christianity. Then she experimented with Buddhism, and finally she listened to a talk by Swami Vivekananda in London, was inspired by Swamiji, then later went to India and met Holy Mother. So she reached in India in 1898. Three Western women, two of them Americans and one a Britisher. Sister Nivedita, incidentally, you know, Nivedita means they dedicated. The Sanskrit word Nivedita means they dedicated, the one who has dedicated herself or himself to a great cause. That's the meaning of, if you put a flower at the altar in the presence of the deity of God, that flower becomes the dedicated. So she offered herself to a great humanistic cause. Not as a humanist, but as a great spiritual seeker. That's a greatness. So these three women were entering Holy Mother's room, a small tiny room in Calcutta. Mother did not know a word of English, and she did not know a word of Bengali. Mother could speak only a very colloquial, ordinary vernacular form of Bengali. And these were three well-educated Western women. So Swami Vivekananda wanted to know whether mother will accept her or not. Swamiji had a big problem. This lady was born in Ireland, bit of a revolutionary, asking questions, an agnostic, inspired by the political radical ideas of mid-19th century Europe, offered herself to serve India, not as a nation, but as a spiritual heritage. When she listened to Vivekananda's lecture in London, Swamiji spoke about one kind of universal spiritual humanism. If you can see God everywhere, then every religion becomes an equally valid path leading to the same goal. You need not look upon yourself as a sinner. The greatest sin is to consider oneself as an eternal sinner. Rather, God is present everywhere in everyone. You should manifest this inner presence of God by leading a good life, by practicing some spiritual moral principles, by loving the rest of humanity, by looking upon the whole humanity as one spiritual family. Then the God sleeping within you will wake up and you will realize the presence of the divine within you. This was what she listened to, what she heard when she listened to Vivekananda. Totally different from what she was listening to in so many religious institutions before Swamiji came to London. So inspired by this great teaching, she wanted to offer herself to the service of India. Another interesting idea that inspired her as she listened to Vivekananda's lectures was this. See, India, if you look upon India's history, you find India is supposed to have 19 centuries of golden era, according to Arnold Toynbee and many other modern Western historians. India's history had 19 centuries of what we call golden era. See, look upon 60 years under Queen Victoria in England, or maybe 50 years under Elizabeth I, or the period of France under Louis XIV, or the era of maybe Napoleon Bonaparte, and so on. India had 1,900 years of golden era. So she knew about this. She studied about Indian history. So she knew that India's a great past, a glorious past. But the picture of India in 19th century was totally different. Women were not allowed to go to schools. Women education was completely neglected. Girls education was not encouraged. Of course, there were many places where girl education was quite advanced, but not in many parts of eastern India. So when Vivekananda gave a picture of the dismal picture of women education in India, she wanted to offer herself as a servant of India, as a spiritual servant of India. And Swamiji at first discouraged her, but she insisted. So she landed up in India, in Calcutta, a very humid, hot city, where Holy Mother was living in a tiny home the top floor in a small room. And these three Western ladies, Josephine McLeod, Miss Leggett, and Sister Nivedita, are entering her room. And you know, as mother entered, Nivedita entered, mother accepted her as her own child. Mother could not understand one word of what Sister Nivedita was speaking. And she also could not understand mother's language. But when she looked upon mother, looked at mother, she found in Holy Mother a more motherly figure than her own grandmother, under whose protection she grew up. Now, how could such a thing happen? Because mother embodied the ideal of universal motherhood. She could see in her a unique ideal of motherhood. See, you feel most free, most intimate, and you feel you feel a very informal in the presence of mother. So mother accepted her as her child. Then Vivekananda said, now it's okay. If mother could accept you, then you'll be accepted by the whole society of India. So this shows that at a spiritual level, when a person reaches the highest stage of spiritual evolution, when she manifests the presence of the divine within herself, she also sees and experiences the presence of the same divine everywhere, immanence and omnipresence. So when in the presence of such a person, you feel, if she is a lady, you feel she is your own mother. And that's how this great revolutionary-minded British lady who grew up in London was inspired by the revolutionary ideas of 19th century British society, became a great spiritual daughter of Mother India. I mean, I'm just giving a very simple bird view of this unique spiritual transformation. Now, coming to the subject, as I mentioned, you know, the meaning of the word itself is the dedicated. She was the dedicated one. And the most important stage in her life came when Vivekananda landed in Britain. And there is an interesting quotation related to her meeting Swami Vivekananda. She listened to Swamiji, and Swami Vivekananda spoke these words in her presence. Religions of the world have become lifeless mockeries. What the world wants is character. The world is in need of those whose life is one burning love, selfless. That love will make every word tell like a thunderbolt. Now, what is the true religion that Swamiji was speaking about? The true religion built upon the realization of the supreme truth that God is present everywhere and God is present in all of us. Now, how Sister Nivedita, Margaret Noble, responded to Swamiji's teachings? She writes, suppose the Swami had not come to London that time, life would have been like a headless torso, for I have always known that I was waiting for something. She was waiting for something. If a true spiritual seeker who is praying to God with a pure heart, who is disgusted with the external ceremonial aspects of formalistic religion, who is looking for some higher inner experience, then God himself will send somebody to her in the form of maybe a speaker, a teacher, or maybe if you're going to San Francisco State Library, you come across a great book, that will be the beginning of a new life for you. When we are actually seeking, this is what happened to her. She was a brilliant educator, a teacher, who experimented with various types of teaching methods in England. But in the process, she was looking for some higher transcendental spiritual ideal, something that formal education cannot give, something that ordinary parents cannot give to their children. So she's looking for something. She felt an inner vacuum within. And then, incidentally, she happened to listen to Vivekananda, who spoke about the presence of the divine everywhere. And he also said, this divine reality present everywhere, which is present in all of us, can be reached and can be experienced and realized by any person, no matter what religious tradition you belong to, if your heart is pure, if we can translate our day-to-day activities into what we call karma yoga or actions as an offering to God. And if we can look upon our fellow human beings as members of the same spiritual family, then what happens? We will get a teacher. So she says, suppose the Swami had not come to London that time, life would have been like a headless torso. For I always knew that I was waiting for something. I always said that a call would come, and it did. But if I had known more of life, I should perhaps have doubted whether when the time came, I should certainly recognize. Fortunately, I knew little and was spared of the torture. Now I look at the book and say, if you had not come, for always I had this burning voice within, but nothing to utter. So when she listened to Swamiji, she could understand that here is a teacher, here is a great spiritual ideal. Now, another picture of Sister Nivedita you find here. She left London, she went to Calcutta, and inspired by Swami Vivekananda, she started working for the education of girls in that city. And not only that, she also actively took up serving the common people, the masses. And very often, there will be epidemics like plagues in that city. There is another picture of Sister Nivedita. During this calamity, I am quoting from a book, calamity means the plagues, cholera, and other epidemic diseases which occurred in the city. She will move from slum to slum, moving the streets, serving the sick, giving them education, giving them medicine, and giving them food. And all this she did without demanding anything. You have to remember one interesting thing. She didn't ask them to change their faith or change their way of life or change their fashion. Rather, she taught them to be proud of their own traditional culture, and fully accepting their traditional culture, she served them. Now, this is the uniqueness of Sister Nivedita as a person. Now, another important area of her work was making Indian women aware of the higher values of the feminine culture. In India, unfortunately, in those days, as I mentioned earlier, social taboos had become very strong. She heard from Swami Vivekananda that freedom is the essence of growth. In India, there was freedom at the religious level. Anyone can worship God in whatever way they want, he wanted. But at the same time, there was no freedom at the social level. Now, Sister Nivedita taught Indians to practice freedom at the social level. And the means for attaining this freedom was education. Not spiritual education alone, but secular education also. I can just quote one very interesting quotation from her work. Her interpretation and understanding of Indian culture. You know, Sister Nivedita was born in a different alien culture, and she was a seeker. She came to India and she studied Hindu culture, Hindu religion, Hindu heritage, spiritual practices, and all that. And after imbibing all this, she became a great exponent of this ancient culture. In that way, she became a bridge between the East and West. She was enriched. She was endowed with the natural, rational approach of a well-educated English woman of mid-19th century, asking questions, analyzing things with the help of reason and understanding and reinterpreting in modern language. Her most important contribution was some of the great books that she wrote, which introduced the essence of Indian culture to the Western world. The cradle of the cradle tales of Hinduism, the web of Indian life, these are some of the books. And the genius, the insight with which she imbibed Indian culture is shown from one important passage from her well-known book, The Web of Indian Life. It is one of the greatest passages ever written by writers who ever tried to interpret Indian culture in English language. That is, she writes about the unique personality of Shankaracharya. This is a well-known passage. Now, remember, Shankaracharya is known to be the greatest exponent of non-dualistic philosophy, which later Vivekananda introduced the Western world. There are three passages written in English language which sums up Shankaracharya's contribution and personality. When Sister Nivedita, inspired by the radical humanism of Western world, enriched by modern education, and again reinforced by the great inspiration that she derived from her own teacher, she writes, Western people can hardly imagine a personality such as that of Shankaracharya. In the course of so few years, to have nominated the founders of no less than 10 great religious orders, of which 4 have fully retained their prestige to the present day, to have acquired such a mass of Sanskrit learning as to create a distinct philosophy and impress himself on the scholarly imagination of India in a preeminence that 1200 years have not sufficed to shake, to have written poems whose grandeur makes them unmistakable even to the foreign and unlearned here. At the same time, to have lived with his disciples in all the radiant joy and simple pathos of the saints and sages, we contemplate with wonder and delight the devotion of Saint Francis of Assisi, the intellect of Abelard, and the freedom of Martin Luther, and the political efficiency of Ignatius Loyola. So, these are some of the marvelous examples of her literary genius, which it's impossible for one to attain without a spiritual insight into a culture. So, how was it possible for a person like Sister Nivedita to acquire such a unique insight into the essence of Indian culture? Because when a spiritual seeker transcends the early stages of spiritual evolution, that is going beyond the external practices, ritualisms, and formalistic mechanical practices, reaches the level of inner experience, that experience awakens within that person a unique insight which will help him or help her to have a direct understanding of the essence of all religious traditions. That has not happened to anybody other than Sister Nivedita, among the Western scholars. Because if you study the great contributions of Orientalists like Paul Deussen, even Max Muller, MacDonald, Keith, any of them, the great Oriental scholars who spent 40 years, 50 years to study Sanskrit, to study Upanishad, study Bhagavad Gita, you read their works, you don't find so much of life. Because inner experience goes beyond the powers of intellect. She herself was a great spiritual seeker. She had lost her faith in the traditional religions. And then she was looking for something. And then she happened to listen to Swami Vivekananda. And when Vivekananda spoke about a religion that was not afraid of reason or logic, but that insisted on the realization of the presence of God everywhere, spiritualizing our everyday life, a stage in which the secular merges with the spiritual. When she heard about such a spiritual ideal, then she thought that was her ideal. And then she was not an easy disciple, Vivekananda writes about it. She was a very rebellious person. She pestered her teacher with questions. But when she really reached that experience level through the practices according to the instructions of her teacher, that gave her unique personality. So when you reach the spiritual, the highest spiritual experience, you become a cosmic, unique spiritual personality. Where you not only see the presence of God within us, but you also see the presence of God everywhere. So that's the uniqueness of Sister Nivedita. I can say a few things about her message to our times, which may be more relevant. Externally, she was born in Ireland. She was a well-educated teacher. She was a rational thinker. She was a freelance writer, a speaker, and so on. And she was a social reformer, you can say, an educator. She was a philanthropist. She worked for the poor people in the slums and so on. Many people do that. But along with that, we also will demand something. But in her case, when she served people in the slums, she thought by serving those in the slums, by giving secular education to illiterate people, that will take her closer to God. That is a unique idea that she got from Vivekananda. Every action done as a selfless service, even in a foreign country, in plague-ridden city like Calcutta, while serving the poor people in the slums, she felt that will take her to her spiritual ideal. Now, this was something that she had not heard about. If you read her life, you'll find she experimented with different spiritual ideas before she met Vivekananda. She tried to become a formal religious person by going to different places of worship regularly, different churches and so on. But somehow she could not connect those external practices with her spiritual goal. And when she listened to Vivekananda, she could become an ideal Christian. That is something. Now, Vedanta will give you an insight into whatever religion you practice. Because Vedanta is not a religion in a way. Vedanta is a state of spiritual evolution from which, if you look upon different religious traditions, you'll be able to look beyond this external practices, beyond the secondary details, and you'll be able to get an idea of the universal message of all holy scriptures in the world. That's the idea she got from Vedanta, from Vivekananda. So she herself writes, when she learned Vedanta from Vivekananda, then when she read Bible again, she got a much deeper insight into the essence of the teachings of Jesus. So that will give us a direct understanding of the universal message of all spiritual teachers. Again, she was an ideal example of the highest renunciation. As I mentioned, you know, she inspired many political thinkers of the late 19th century India, and even the great political leaders who worked for India's independence in the early decades of 20th century. When Mahatma Gandhi, J.C. Bose, many great leaders had got inspiration from her, and also those who lived in the last decade of 19th century. He asked Indians to practice and to implement Vivekananda's message of an ideal society, a society which can blend together the best of the Oriental and the best of the Occidental. How to blend together, how to harmonize the fruits of modern technology, modern science, modern education, and at the same time to remain rooted in the traditional spiritual values of our own heritage. So that is one of the uniqueness of her message. When it comes to spiritual practices, spiritual traditions, spiritual values, we should keep them intact. At the same time, to make the country, to make the society prosperous, to spread education among the masses, and to serve the elite, the sick and the poor, and to eradicate social injustices like casteism, untouchability, many of the social vices of India which later crept into society. All these should be wiped out and removed. For that, we need modern education, modern science, modern technology. But at the same time, the essence of spiritual values should not be forgotten. So unique blending of the best of the Occidental and the best of the Oriental. That was the message that she gave to India. So there are two important aspects of Sister Nivedita that I want to present before you. One, the transformation that happened to her when she met Vivekananda and Mother, Holy Mother. And second, her concept of service, her concept of dedication, dedicating her whole life to the service of an alien culture, alien society, without expecting anything in return. She didn't ask them to change their religion, you know. See, different religions have produced many great missionaries who have spread their religious teachings and also, in the process, worked for the education, the economic and social welfare of different societies in the world. All over the world, you find. But in Sister Nivedita's case, she went to slums in Calcutta, gave them food, gave them education, taught them hygiene, and then asked them, taught them to be proud of their traditional culture. There is an interesting scene in Sister Nivedita's life. They were holding a meeting. She was talking to a group of women, including small girls. Their mothers were not willing to send these girls to schools started by Sister Nivedita. She was looking for girls who were willing to come forward for education. This lady, who was born in Ireland, inspired by Vivekananda, went to Calcutta, was forcing Indian parents to send little girls to the school which she started. They were not willing to do that. And remember, this is in a country which had produced women philosophers in 4th millennium BC, 5th millennium BC. Remember, if you look at the great Upanishadic literature, you find large number of great women philosophers, women mystics. Devi Sukta, Aham Rudrebhi Vasivicharami, they chanted today. The Devi Sukta was composed by the women mystic in 5th millennium BC. That means 7,000 years back. So in such a country, in 19th century, parents were not willing to spend their little girls to schools started by a foreign British woman who had the compassion, who had a love for India, to come to Calcutta and start a school. And there's an interesting scene. She was addressing a group of parents, including mothers, trying to inspire them to send their children, their girls, to her school. Many of them were not willing. Please stand up, those who are willing to send. Nobody came up. Then Vivekananda entered and sat at the back bench. And he was trying to persuade one of those people who have assembled, you stand up and you express your willingness to send your girl. So, and Swamiji admired her. Now, this is interesting. Again, moving from slum to slum, talking to them about the need for hygiene, spreading the virtues of taking healthy food. All this she did as an act of service to God. She thought, by doing that, she will progress in her spiritual life. And she will also be doing a great service to people with whom she had no historical or cultural connection. This is a unique, feminine archetype that you find in Sister Nivedita. A unique blending of the modern Western sense of freedom, education, innovation, rational thinking, plus a very traditional Indian spiritual approach. So I'm concluding because I don't have much time. So I'm concluding this program here, this session here. You are free to ask questions on Sister Nivedita or the relevance of a person like Sister Nivedita, why she is called a saint, why she included her name as a saint. A saint is a person who realizes the presence of the divine within her and also the presence of the divine everywhere, and who feels the inner harmony within her as a result of realizing the divine within her, and also who looks upon the rest of humanity as members of her own spiritual family. So every act becomes an act of worship. Every word becomes a kind of sacred mantra, and whole humanity becomes an expression of the divine. That's what she did. And that too, born in an entirely different culture, going all the way to India. At that time, India was in a miserable condition economically, socially, and politically. And she dedicated herself, her whole life, to serve these people, even against Swami Vivekananda's warnings. And in fact, her own distant relatives had warned her, but she didn't listen to them. She wanted to become the dedicated. So the journey from Miss Margaret Noble to the dedicated is a unique story of a unique feminine archetype that we can read and understand and take inspiration from. Thank you. Namaskar. Yeah. Now, I have two announcements. First one, and those who are interested in reading the life and teachings of Holy Mother, those books are available in our bookstore. Swami Chedananji's book on Holy Mother are available in the bookstore. And second announcement is, please remember, traditionally, the most interesting part of today's program is this question and answer session that will begin at 1:45 and be over by 4:15. Before that, we have lunch, and about the lunch, I have to give a few announcements. There will be three main lines, so you can join those lines. And after lunch, we begin our program at 1:45. Please assemble here at 1:45. We will have Vedic chanting, meditation, and interaction. Thank you. Namaskar.